Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Falling down is not as bad as staying down. In fact, many leaders fall down. The devil uses it as a weapon against believers, Christians, that once you fall, you can never get up again. But I just want to let you know, God is a God of the impossible.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a message taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Restoring Broken Trust. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
When the Chicago Police Department is so mad because they have been undermined in the process. I'm talking about the mayor of Chicago, and they're so mad about the process. Okay? So we're witnessing, what's the big deal? What's the big picture about all of that? The big picture is that there's such an undermining of trust today that, and here's what's happening. People clock out of being involved in it because now I don't want to get involved in the stinkiness of this and this and this. I'm just going to take care of me. But the problem is, if Christians, pastors, churches opt out of being salt and light, the world is going to implode faster than what we think it is. So there's got to be, listen, here's the issue. There has got to be Christians, churches that exemplify what it means to restore people back to the Lord. Today, people feel like, and this is the reason why I'm teaching this, they feel like that they are entitled to something, and so as soon as I ask forgiveness, then you better put me back on the platform and let me pastor this church. But no, because here's what's happening. Someone thought that to expunge this man's record and not let the process play out was going to help him. But what they've done is they've put a curse on that man. Am I preaching right now, somebody? You can't give someone the benefit of the doubt without the process happening. Okay? If you do that to your children, they'll be running the house. So the only way to protect the account of trust then is what I taught Sunday night, and I would encourage you to get that lesson of we taught the leaders in this room about character. And it is the missing element that's happening in our world today. I'm going to just say in the pulpit as well, in the pulpit. Trust means being able to predict. Listen, trust means being able to predict what another person will do in any given situation. When you know the behavior of someone, you can predict what they're going to do. When you trust someone, you shouldn't fool yourself. Now, I'm not saying anybody couldn't break that trust, but I am saying to you, if you see a pattern in somebody's life, don't fool yourself by saying, oh, it'll be all right. Failure. There you go, right there. Trust means being able to predict what other people will do in any given situation. When I trust somebody, okay, here, I trust you enough, I'm going to give you this $20. I need you to go down to the store, pick up this, this, and then bring me my change back with the receipt. See, you hear people laughing, you know why? Because here's what happens. Hey, here's what you got. Oh, you want the change? Oh, by the way, I bought me a Coke, a hamburger, and a Sonic on the way back, too. Thanks. I got that receipt, though, too, for you. Here is a receipt from Sonic. Failure is not, listen, get this, failure is not a termination of a person's call, gift, assignment, or talents. It must be seen as a detour or an attempt to cancel your destiny by the devil. Because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, the Bible says. God does not withdraw what he put inside of you. Now, you might forfeit it. You might walk away from it. You might think, I've messed up so bad, God can never use me in this area again. But do you know who it is that we like to read after in the Bible? You know whose stories we like to hear? It's from those people that make the comeback. We don't, listen, you're not reading in there a lot about Deborah in the Bible being one of the judges. You're reading about David and how to get over this mess. I wish I had some help up in here. Aren't you glad that the Bible did not sanitize itself? God didn't sanitize the Bible and take all the ugliness out. I'm talking about David looking over the porch. I'm glad. You know why? I'm glad that he shows us that Simon Peter was so vulnerable that he pulled out his sword and whacked off the guy's ear. Why, Pastor? I'm just asking you, how many of you have been to the point of frustration a time or two where if you'd have had a sword, y'all better not lie up in this holy house. God heard that. Okay, so some people just keep going as if nothing ever happened. That's not right either. How many of you know that's true? The process of restoration is a means of protection and restoring and rebuilding trust. Restoration, the process itself is a means of protecting you. In my years of ministry, I've had to take people that were on the platform singing that may have done something that they shouldn't have done or whatever on the platform, you know, just in front of people, and ask them to sit down. And some people get offended by that, but you don't understand. If we don't let them get restored and healed, then you get a bitter singer or a bitter preacher, and the congregation gets the brunt of that. And it says that the standard has been lowered. And every time you let that take place, come on. There's a pastor right now on Christian television who's out there preaching away who said that God told him to divorce his wife and marry this other woman, and he's steady right on preaching. I'm just going to tell you, that's wrong. Amen. I'm not the one that's going to judge him, but I'm going to tell you something. That will be judged. Hello, somebody. The safest course to take after trust has been broken is to submit yourself to a qualified authority. Now, that's difficult sometimes. It's difficult. But you should have people in your circle of friends, and I'm not talking about the 5,000 that's on your Facebook. I'm talking about the 3. Am I talking to anybody? Push your neighbor and tell them, wake up right now. Because see, I'm going to tell you, the spirit of slumber will come on you tonight, and you'll miss the very thing that's going to save your marriage, save your house, your business. Listen, you should have at least 3 people that you could call up and say, hey, I need to talk to you and I need to tell you where I'm at. And they can keep a confidence, give you biblical counsel, and be willing to be a faithful, loyal friend, not only not to spread it, but to check up on you to say, hey, why weren't you in church this weekend? Where were you at? And you not get offended. Come on, somebody. Thank you. The offender should be prepared to submit to the offended. It is cooperation that will rebuild trust. Now, if anybody needs a meeting with me or a counseling session or anything like that, you're hearing what I would tell you in my office. So let's talk about the steps to restoration. Anybody ready to go there? Because listen, grace is an event. But restoration is a process. So the steps to restoration begin here. Submitting to the process starts with admitting and repenting. First thing you got to do is admit, I was wrong. Come on, let's practice that. I was, See, some of you couldn't even open your mouth right now. You're like the Fonz on Happy Days. That dated me, didn't it? Some of y'all go, Happy Days? What's that? Fonz? What's a Fonz? He say phone? What'd he say? The day you get to the place where you're so hard that you can't apologize, you're in a bad place. Admitting and repenting. Now, first of all, that's not admitting it on Facebook. That's you in a closet with God. So if you hear anything, you need to hear this. God said, I want you to go to the door of your closet. I want to meet with you there. I admit it before God, and I repent before God to start with. The acknowledgement of my sin is to allow God to lead me into the path of restoration. So in this story of the book of Numbers, chapter 12, which is one of my favorites, and it just is a leader's tool, Aaron, the high priest, Moses' brother, admits that he sinned before God. Now, he admitted it, and it, of course, it spoke of the humility that you have to approach this thing with. Okay? Instead of saying things like, I don't know what is. What does that mean? Right? Can I talk to you here tonight? Because we didn't get where we are right now in America because we watched our leaders be humble and admit. We're in a place right now where nobody's going to admit anything and everybody's posturing, and we've got such problems in our media with lying and all kinds of stuff and filtering everything you hear, that unless you're in tune with the Holy Ghost and have discernment that comes from God, amen, today truth is falling in the streets, amen, and we don't know what truth is anymore. Amen. So admitting it was something that Aaron did, and it humbled him. And he humbled himself. David said this in the psalm, Lord, I'm humbling myself in fasting and in prayer. Why did he say that? Because if you don't humble yourself, you will eventually be humiliated in public. God works in our life as we humble ourselves in the process, and the lack of humility is the thing that broke the confidence and trust with that person to start with. Pride, we dealt with it Sunday night, goes before, I'll try to get it out of your mouth tonight, that's the one scripture everybody knows. Pride goes before a haughty spirit precedes that. So when you see someone arrogant in their attitude and in their spirit, they won't humble themselves, then you just mark it down. They're on their way to destruction. Listen, if you don't get anything else to help you restore, my friends, my soul is weeping right now to say what I'm about to say to you on this slide. Placing your faith exclusively in the cross is the only means of true repentance and rebuilding trust. Amen. Period. Amen. You'll never be able to earn it back enough. You'll never be able to satisfy the equation enough. In fact, you may go through the entire process of restoration and not be reconciled to that person. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to introvert yourself and turn the guns on your own self to think that I've messed up so bad that I can never be restored. But I'm just going to tell you, can I be candid with you? I went to the cross today.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.